We're going to go ahead and begin, if you don't mind getting your Bibles out, and let's turn to the book of Ephesians. We've been going through our study on that particular book, and more than likely we should be getting close to finishing today. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're currently talking about the armor of God. The armor of God is mentioned by the Apostle Paul to those in Ephesus. But of course, everything that he would mention to those in Ephesus would also apply to you and me, just because we are children of the living God. We're living in a very fallen world. The world around us is fallen. It doesn't matter if it's here in the San Luis Valley or there in California. The reality is that the world outside of Christianity is fallen and it needs God. But we are like fish out of water, so to say, because of the fact of the way that the world is. We're always going against the grain, so to say. We don't necessarily always fit in. And there's people in this world that don't understand us. Not only do those in the world not understand you as a child of the living God, there's an enemy who doesn't want anything to do with us because we are God's children. And so the armor of God is very descriptive of our armament, our prep for battle. And you as a child of God are in a war. When we said yes to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we entered into battle. Most of us didn't even realize it to begin with, and yet some of us did. Some of our own friends may have forsaken us because we began to say no to the things that they were doing because it wasn't right anymore for us to do. And so some of them said, forget you, a persecution of sorts. Some of us had to turn from old religions that we were a part of. And it doesn't matter. All of these things, in essence, were a part of that battle. But there is a real devil, and he is out to destroy our faith. And so let's open up in prayer, and then let's ask for God's blessing as we continue with where we left off. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would be with us here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us the privilege of being able to gather together in your presence. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all of the blessings that you have provided for us. I do ask, Lord, that you would be with us here as we continue our study on spiritual warfare, per se, that, Lord, as we continue looking at these pieces of this armor, that you would help us to be a people that stand with our head held high and our shoulders square, because we are your children and you have suited us for battle. We don't have to run away from that enemy. You have given us the ability to fight. And so help us, Lord, not to try to fight by ourselves, but to know that we are fighting along with you this battle. And so be with us this morning. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the book of Ephesians, just to reiterate again, before we get into the armor of God, is a book that was written by the Apostle Paul to those in the town of Ephesus at the same time that he wrote the letter to the Ephesians. He also wrote a letter to the Colossians. Both Ephesians and Colossians in your Bible are considered to be the twin epistles of the Apostle Paul. Many of the practical truths that we talk about here are reiterated in Colossians in a similar way, and sometimes in a more minute way, in different ways. It just depends which letter you're looking at. But both letters are telling us, in essence, some of the same things. They're twin epistles. It's believed they were written around the same time and carried by the same letter carrier to those churches at the same time. And so they're twin epistles. The content of this letter, again, deals with, in the first three chapters, how we are redeemed by God. That means that God, through the blood of Jesus, paid a price for you and me. We are his purchased possession. And because we are children of the living God, we have many benefits as his children as well that we can enjoy. We are in Christ. He is our righteousness. He is our standing. He is what makes us acceptable in the sight of God. Christ is our everything. Amen. We are redeemed by God. The last three chapters, where the practical side of the letter explains to us, as we said here, how we as the redeemed are to live. And so it dealt with the many practical things of our lives. It dealt with putting off an old manner of life and putting on a whole new way of life. The reality is that you and me, we are Christians, and we are called to live a different lifestyle in the world out there. It won't be a perfect existence. God has not called you and me to sinless perfection. The only one that was sinlessly perfect was Christ himself. And he's the one that lived the life that we could not live, and he lived it in our stead so that we could trust in him as our Savior, and that we can have our standing in Christ. But in chapter 6, Paul began to deal with this battle against evil. Spiritual warfare. Behind the natural, there is the spiritual world. There is a spiritual world. We're living in a time when, you know, those in school or those that ascend the ladder of learning, sometimes they begin to reason away the supernatural, begin to reason away the spirit. Whenever something happens wrong, it's just reality. It has nothing to do with anything spiritual, according to their mindset. Paul would describe many of these. Some of them even have doctorate degrees. He describes those as ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. But a child of the living God, even someone that hasn't graduated high school, but has a relationship with God Almighty and is in tune with God and His Word, knows more than some of those with doctorate degrees, because their knowledge is in the Son of God as their Lord and Savior. Did you hear what I just said? That individual who is armed with the Word of God is more powerful than anyone who just has a head full of knowledge but has no God. Remember, the Bible calls those that have or disbelieve in God, it doesn't matter how smart they are. You know, there's people like Richard Dawkins. I mean, they write books like The God Delusion, and they try to say God doesn't exist. And these are very intelligent individuals. The Bible describes them as fools. And that's just the way it is. And so, a young Christian believer armed with the Word of God is more powerful and knows more as far as true knowledge is concerned than someone that would deny God's existence. Like I said, we're living in a time when there seems to be a reasoning away of faith, a reasoning away of spiritual things. There is no such thing as spiritual war. There's no such thing as demons and devils and angels. For those, God doesn't even exist. But we believe, according to God's Word, that there is a spirit world. And because there is a spiritual war. And you, as a child of God, are engaged in a battle. And we have to be equipped, armed for that battle. And that's what we've been discussing. You know, we can look at this picture, and you look at that soldier in war. It brings into mind a picture of, you know, the fumes, the smoke of battle. You know, the intensity of the moment. And if we were to be able to really see the war that is engaged really in a daily basis in the spirit, I think our hearts would be amazed at what really is taking place. But there is war. And God has equipped you and me with this armor of God. And it starts in verse 10, and it says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Who are we supposed to be strong in?
The Lord.
In the Lord, not in ourselves. We're not strong enough really to fight. You know, it's like I said the last time, there's some foolish people who say, come on, devil, let's fight. They don't know what they're saying. And in their foolishness, and God in his mercy still shields them from any kind of foolishness. But they better be careful. But it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The King James says, the wiles of the devil he has plans to destroy. For our fight is not against flesh and blood. Again, this is the natural. What we see with our natural eyes, we see individuals, we see real circumstances, but there behind it is a spiritual world. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, he says to us, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done all to stand. He encourages those in Ephesus to take up the whole armor of God. It's something, to be honest with you, that we have in Christ. But these are things that we don't fully understand at times as a believer. Your knowledge of who you are as a child of God and what Christ has made you in himself is very important to be able to stand in the battle. Sometimes a young believer doesn't understand their standing in Christ, and so they're striving to please God. They feel like they're failing, and so they're never able to advance because they don't realize that their striving is in vain, really. And Christ has called us to a place of rest. We can rest in the finished work of Calvary. We can't make ourselves holy. He's made us holy by faith. Amen. And because we are holy, and as we walk hand in hand with our Lord, he's going to make us holy as well. It's amazing. We are holy, and we're being made to be holy through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But that baby believer, doesn't matter if they've been saved for 2 months or 10 years. There's baby believers that have been saved, have been in church for 20 years, and they're still babies. They've been stunted in their growth. They've not come to a place of spiritual maturity. And most of the time, the reason why is because there's not good Bible teaching. Did you hear what I just said? We need good biblical exposition, good teaching of God's Word to help us to grow. But sometimes, you know, and Lord willing, it's not the case here. And if it is, it's my fault. But Lord willing, what we give is a little bit more than just surface and has more depth. Amen? Because a baby drinks milk. And if all they get is milk, then they're not growing. There has to come the point where they get spiritual teeth and begin to eat spiritual meat. Amen. And so we must understand who we are in Christ, because Satan will attack our faith. But when we know who we are in Christ, who in reality evidences many of these pieces of the armor, who you are in Christ helps us with these pieces, helps us to stand against that battle. Now, here's a couple images here that I found. Remember, we have our ally. God is our partner. Our enemy is Satan and his forces. But our equipment is the full armor of God. And in this graphic, you can kind of see the different elements of the armor of God. It says this, verse 13, take on up the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your waist girded with truth. It's like the belt of truth, right? Girded with truth. So that's the first element that is described by Paul. He says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. There's the breastplate of righteousness there. Having our feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. You need shoes to be able to battle in a war. I mean, if you don't got shoes, forget it. They're going to tackle you down real quick. Isn't that right? The shoes. And then it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you're able to extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Verse 16, the shield of faith, which helps to protect against those bullets, so to say, those fiery darts. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. All of these different pieces make up our armor. But you'll notice, as I said before, all these different pieces of the armor deal with our Christian understanding of who we are in Christ. For instance, that girdle of truth or the belt of truth, who is the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus Himself. It's important for us to know Him, isn't it? He is our truth. He is the living truth. Amen. Pontius Pilate said, what is truth? Little did he know he was looking right at it. Amen. He was looking at who truth is personified. True truth. Absolute truth. The truth that changes not, always will be. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Your knowledge of Jesus Christ, your knowledge of the truth is going to give you the ability to stand or even to be maneuverable in battle. Remember last time we said the belt was also used in war to get the skirting or whatever to be able to put it up, hang it into the belt so you can have free movement with the legs. You know, nowadays our soldiers are dressed a little bit different and so they're able to move around a lot quicker, right?
When I was in the military, we still had that belt.
Yeah.
And on that belt, see, everything else was hung. You had the shoulder straps, you had, and then everything hooked. But if everything went on that belt, and as you notice in the Word, it puts that first. You put that belt on first.
Yeah.
And then everything goes with that. You can't have everything else without the belt first.
Yeah.
You notice, I don't know if that's something.
It is.
Possibly whatever, but.
Definitely.
I see in Scripture, I think a lot of times, He puts things in order. This is the order you do. The belt,
yeah.
Then this, then this, then this. And then you start to see the belt of truth. Well, if you don't have Christ, then you ain't fighting anyway.
Exactly.
Part of this,
yeah. Know? Exactly. You know, one of the enemy's greatest attacks, or once what he wants to attack, is truth. You know, we're living in a time where there's no such thing as absolute truth anymore. Everything's irrelevant. You know, your truth is your truth, mine is mine. Doesn't matter. There's no such thing as absolutes anymore. And so those that believe like that, they definitely don't want to believe in the Word of God, because the Bible, God's Word, God's truth, is full of absolute truths. And those absolute truths actually complement the truth that is already ingrained in us as being born in the image of God. We were created in God's image. So even the unbeliever that begins to read the Word, that Word begins to speak to the truth that's already there because of the image of God in man. You see, there's arguments for the existence of God. One of those is the psychological argument for the existence of God. That means man has a knowledge of right and wrong, and it was put there before any parent told them, that's right, that's wrong. Before they came to church and saw the Ten Commandments and said, thou shalt not and thou shalt not. There's just something inside of us that says there's right and there's wrong. So where does that come from? And that comes from the image of God in man. All man was created in God's image. There is truth within. And so this Word of God complements that truth and begins to open the eyes and the conscience to truth. But the enemy wants to attack truth and make it irrelevant, because then there's no standards. You know, when we look at the world that we're living in, I'm not just talking about the San Luis Valley, but when you look at the whole landscape of the world, and where there's a lot of sinful living, sinful lifestyles, a lot of killing and murder or whatever, sinful passions and living and whatever, all of those places and all of those people don't want to believe in an absolute truth. much less the person of truth, Jesus Christ. Because if they begin to put their faith in Jesus, then there's going to be absolutes, and they're going to have to give up those areas of compromise because of the truth. You all hear what I'm saying? Amen. It's just the way it is. You know, they don't want it. That's why it's easier to say God doesn't exist, because then that helps for them to live in their sinful lifestyle the way they want to live. Because when you bring God into the equation, then that means if God does exist, well, then what does he require? Well, then how do we know what God requires? Well, then it brings us to God's truth. Amen? And then it will speak to our hearts, and you know what? There's a right, there's a wrong. And it's easier to say God doesn't exist, or we were born from monkeys, or, you know, evolution is the theory that works, you know. I could go and shoot someone. I mean, I'm just shooting another animal, right? There's no regard for human life. That's why only Christianity has a true regard for human life. Amen? Brother Gary.
Pastor, as we read this, at least three times it tells us to stand.
Yeah.
Or to withstand.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to stand on the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the very basis. That's where it all begins.
Yeah.
To take that stand and say, I'm going to be a person of integrity.
Mm.
I will speak the truth. I will judge by the standard of the truth mm-hmm. that's in the Word. And I kind of had to think about it, but have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of
yeah.
peace.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't stand if you don't have peace.
That's right.
If you're agitated, if your feet are agitated and wanting to move and they can't find solid ground to stand on, well, there is no peace.
That's true.
And then, therefore, there is fear.
Yeah.
That's fear is the opposite of faith.
That's right.
And so it's that, I believe, is what he was talking about when he's talking about having to stand.
Yeah.
And to stand in peace.
Yeah.
And then I remember Jesus when he withstood Satan.
Yeah.
And the three temptations and mm-hmm. all of that as he was coming out of the wilderness and, mm-hmm. and had fasted for 40 days.
Yeah.
And Jesus had a peace.
Yeah.
He understood. He was the truth. He knew the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
He had peace in his heart.
Yeah.
And he could stand against Satan.
Yeah.
But he pulled out the sword, which was the truth, which was the word of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Which is the Word.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
He used the Word.
Yeah.
And so that's the basis. We follow his example.
That's right.
So when Satan comes against us, you go to the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You speak the Word mm-hmm. against Satan.
Exactly.
And he will flee.
Yeah, definitely. It's so important how important the Word of God is within that whole armament, isn't it? Truth is a person, Jesus Christ himself, but truth is also his Word. It's true. Amen. I'm still one of those old-fashioned believers that the Word of God is God's inspired, infallible Word. Amen. I still believe that. I'm still old-fashioned in that way. Praise the Lord, right? But it's God's standard of truth. If there's errors in regards to how they translated or something, that's their errors. But God's Word itself is inspired, amen, and infallible. But that truth of God and understanding the Word of God is so important for us to get the Word of God into our spirit. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why it's important for us to spend time in the Word. Amen? And if you can't read, then get one of those little MP3 things. You know, they have those little MP3 Bibles nowadays. They even have them kind of animated, if not animated to see, but you can listen to it. Almost sounds like they're really in battle if there's a war or something, you know? Get them for $30, MP3, the whole Bible. Plug that into your stereo or whatever, and when you're driving, you're hearing the Word. It's coming into you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so we have that belt of truth. Amen? But we also have that standing in peace because we're knowing the truth. Him, knowing Jesus Christ, the truth, but then you're beginning to understand and know who you are in Him, And when we're at peace and we're at rest with what he's done for us, it brings you true, true peace. Yeah. Rest. It takes away all the striving, doesn't it? Oh man, it's rough striving, and it's rough when it's just nothing but fear as well.
And kind of, as it says here, that it tells us to stand.
Yeah.
But for me, it makes more sense to say, I will take a stand.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And it involves, like what you said, the determination to have a life of integrity. I'm going to take that stand. I'm not going to allow this worldliness to affect my thinking. I'm not going to compromise my standards when I'm on the internet or with what I watch or where I go and who I hang around with. There's intentionality here. Amen? Having done all to stand or to take a stand either way, but never retreat. Amen? I mean, we're in this to win. Amen? Always going forward. But yes?
Sorry. It's just like it all comes to us sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
What we choose to do, and what we choose to listen, what we choose to feed our souls with.
Mm.
If we choose to, we believe that God works at his time,
mm-hmm.
but it also has to come from us.
Yeah.
We have to make the step forward to let God come and work on us.
Yeah.
And so if we allowed ourselves to listen to any type of music that is going to fill our souls, our carnal wants
mm-hmm.
and our spiritual wants,
mm-hmm.
then we're just not going any forward.
Yeah.
If we're allowed to listen to this music that is not going to help us spiritually, then we're just putting a stop to God's work.
Yeah.
And so I think it all comes to us. What mm-hmm. we understand, okay, we're not going to listen to us. There's nothing wrong with it. But at the same time, it's not feeding our soul, it's not feeding our spirit, and we're not letting God work in us.
That's right. So it covers a whole spectrum. Music is one of the most influential things in existence. Think about how music influences people. I mean, think about the rap music. I've seen people, you know, and you may not like me for what I'm about to say, but that's okay. Okay, it's okay. I believe what I believe. I have my convictions, and it's what it is. You develop convictions from the Word of God. When I first got saved, I used to listen to thrash heavy metal. And I had the long hair and all to thrash with, too. But when I first started coming to the faith, I remember there was a moment. I can take you to the place in Manasseh, right underneath where the letter is. There was a friend's house right there. It's right down there somewhere. And there was a particular band that was Christian metal. You saw that. Just because you put Christian on it doesn't make it Christian. I don't believe that for one bit. And they sang a lot of scripture with it too. That doesn't make it holy just because they use the Bible. Follow what I'm saying. Anyways, I was there and God was dealing with me. God was dealing with me. He's separating me unto himself. And I want God. I'm wanting to draw near to him. I want as much of God as I can get. And I remember there was a moment there because in my flesh, I liked that heavy sounding guitar. I liked it. I mean, sometimes you hear it on, you know, and you're like, how can someone like that? Don't ask me, but I liked it. And so I didn't want to necessarily let that part go. I mean, yes, I've told you before, I got rid of my t-shirts. I got rid of all the magazines. But some element wanted to keep some things. And I remember at that particular place there in Manasseh, I said, Lord, well, look, it's scriptural. They're just singing the Bible, even though you can understand them. They were saying like, for God so loved the world, you know. But worse than that, you know. And you're like, what? Come on, you know. You couldn't necessarily understand it unless you really paid attention to the lyrics and so on and so forth. But I remember where I was. I remember where I was, and God's Spirit told me, I don't want you to listen to that music. Now, let me qualify this. God was dealing with Pastor James. It's not my part to tell you don't listen to that music. Did you hear what I just said? But I do believe that if we want God and we want Him in all of His holiness and all of His beauty and all of His grandeur, He's going to say to some of those things, don't do it. And the point is music is very influential. Now, there are some elements of music that are neutral. Did you hear what I just said? There is neutral music. Those in the world can sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, just like the Christian can sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. That's neutral. But there is also the separation between what is worldly and what isn't. And then what determines what is worldly and what isn't? Because there's a distorted guitar playing, does that make it worldly? Not necessarily. Because it has a country music twang. Or it's got this real deep bass and this beat going, like some of that rap music might have, or does that make it worldly? God wants us to be so in tune with Him that He can have our ear and He will say, don't listen to that anymore. You see, in our youth, in our immaturity, as we're growing, we may listen to things. We may dress certain ways. We may still hang around with certain people. But if we're walking with Him and we truly love God, He will be able to tell us, don't hang around there anymore. Don't listen to that anymore. Don't dress that way anymore. But you see, that's going to come. The best way for that to work is it's because you are in love with your Master and Lord. Because if it's just the pastor saying, thou shalt not, it just shuts them off. So we must encourage our people, draw near to Him. Know the truth. But also be discerning. Listen, if that music is not encouraging you to draw near to God, don't listen to it. If that television show is full of compromise and mixture and those people are acting, and in their acting they're living at home with someone else and they're not married and they're doing all kinds of sensual stuff, don't watch that. It's not benefiting you. Amen. It can even boil down to things that are actually legitimate. You may be watching good things on TV, but you're watching too much of it. And He's saying, not so much. Do you all hear what I'm saying? We must have a sensitivity. I might get tongue-tied with that one. Because we want God. Amen? I want Him. And we should be guarding our hearts. But remember the armor.
Just one more thing, like, now that you were saying about TV, and like I was saying earlier, you know, to me that was my idol.
Yeah.
You know, and I never realized how bad it was.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get home and turn on the TV and then just sit there for 5-6 hours until maybe 1-3 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
just watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I wasn't watching nothing bad. I was watching ESPN, I was watching sports, mm-hmm. I was watching games, but
yeah.
That was taking time from my family, and that was taking God, especially from God.
Mm.
Sometimes I used to not be able to. I was tired, so I fall asleep, but not feel like fall asleep comfortable, because I feel God telling me to get up, read the Bible, or do something. But I was so tired, I got like, oh, man. It's just me, it's just me. And now I had money to pay the TV. I just every time they're like, should I not? And then something comes out like, no, I think I should pay for it. So I think to me it's a way from God saying. It's taking it away from
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I sit on my bed sometimes, watch TV or movies from my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like I'm there 6-7 hours, you know, watching
yeah,
TV.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like He's taking that away from me, and He's making a way for me not to be able to make that happen,
yeah.
to turn it back on. And so, and now when I feel God talking to me, so you need to get up and read this, or do this, or look at the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I get up and I make my notes, and
mm-hmm.
and so now I'm getting closer to God by doing by that way.
I see. Yeah.
And so it doesn't necessarily have to be music, but it's anything that is keeping you away mm-hmm. from God, mm-hmm. from the Spirit, getting fuel from the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That it's, you know, that's when we have to stand.
Mm-hmm. And it takes our choice, like you were saying earlier. It takes our decision to maybe turn the TV off or put limits on ourselves and say, only watch so much and no more, or just don't, whatever. You all follow what I'm saying? It's not like, you know, Pastor, should I turn the TV off or on? No, it's, I mean, talk to God. Let him tell you, you know. It has nothing to do with me. Again, he has a way to tell us. Amen. And, you know, all of us are at different levels in our walk with God, you know, but he will show us and he will teach us. But let's get back to this. Absolute truth and the gospel of peace in the breastplate of righteousness we just talked about. This breastplate of righteousness deals with a protection over the heart. You know, not only do you have that shield of faith, which will protect from those fiery darts that are attacking, but the shield of faith also deals with a protection. So if that shield, you know, somehow it just escaped the shield, you're still protected on this particular area. And so the shield, or the breastplate of righteousness, sorry about that, has also a very important part. So let me see what graphics I have here. Look at this picture. I thought this was an interesting one, so I put it up there. But you see this young man, he's sitting there reading his Bible there on the street, but look at all these arrows flying at him, and he's just reading his Bible, unbeknown to him, and you can kind of see his shadow there. Instead of it just being a shadow, it's like he's got that whole armor of God on. You all see that? Don't you think that's a pretty interesting one? You know, whether you know, it's not like you put on a real helmet or a real sword. You're not out there really doing that. This is a spiritual war. But the enemy's going to throw his attack in many different ways. If it's unbelief, if it's discouragement, if it's sin, lust, whatever it may be, he's going to throw his arrows. But as we're filling ourselves with God's truth and knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, which in effect is all those armaments included, then we will be battling, because the Word of God, the Bible says the Word of God is His engrafted Word. That means the Word gets in us. It's almost like it gets rooted in there. And it helps us to battle. The Bible says the Word of God will renew our minds. You filling yourself with God's Word and in prayer, the Bible begins to correct our way of thinking. You see, when we were in the world, we thought one way. But when you became a believer and you began to read the Word of God, it's going to be His Word and your fullness of Christ that's going to begin to change your manner of thinking about many things. And so filling ourselves with God's Word is, in essence, being ready to withstand that attack. But going back to some of these graphics, let's see, there's that belt of truth. You can kind of see the belt there. It has these three strands. You can kind of see it there. But on the belt, just like Brother Robert brought out, you hang all their weapons, your daggers, your sword. Are you going to hoist all those things or hold them up? But on that belt. So we need the belt of truth. Amen? And so that's one of the first elements is that belt. It helps to hold up our pants too, right? I mean, that wouldn't be real helpful in battle. Then the breastplate of righteousness. And you can kind of see in this, it's a metallic piece. It's going to protect. It has an extra measure of protection when you're in battle, but it's a breastplate of righteousness. Now, it involves both. You are righteous by faith, and your understanding of your righteousness in Christ is going to help you. You are justified by faith. You've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. So you don't have to try to strive to become righteous. You are righteous in Christ. However, because you are righteous, we will respond in doing righteous things. Amen. You see, our response is not to try to earn righteousness by doing righteous things. No, 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 you're already righteous, so stop striving to earn it. But because you already are righteous, the byproduct of that will be that God is going to help us to choose to do the right. And that involves even what we've been talking about with television, what we do and how we speak and what we watch and what we allow into our spirit. It should be righteous. Amen? Amen. Next, of course, was the shield of faith. Now, it says it like this. The breastplate of right should be the feet. Sorry about that. Well, I couldn't find a good graphic, that's why. But you can see the feet there, right? And you need your boots to be able to fight, to be able, they say the Roman legions, the Roman centurions, the Roman soldier, their shoes even had spikes at the bottom. So they had more grip, the ability to be more secure in their standing. Amen? And it's just like Brother Gary said, that we come to that point of having a firm stance. Amen? And even coming to the point of making a stand. But if you have that grip and they start pushing on you, it's going to be ingrained in the ground a little bit stronger. Amen? And so all of that is important. But then is the shield of faith. You kind of see that, these fiery darts attacking. And you have that shield of protection. And it says this, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. And so the intention of the enemy is to shoot those fiery darts. He wants to burn us up. He wants to destroy. Amen? They say some of these darts were intentionally dipped in poison, so they were poisonous tips. Or some of them were literally on fire as they wrapped whatever around it and dipped it in a fiery substance to burn it. But those arrows were meant to attack the heart. Amen? So you have to have that shield of faith. Now, the shield of faith, again, has two different sides to it. Remember, we are justified by faith. Amen? Mm-hmm. You are justified by faith, but it also says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so it goes both ways. You have to know that God is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He is Almighty God, and He wants to respond and react in your stead. Amen? He's for you, not against you. Greater is He that's within us than he that's within the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But our knowledge of who He is also gives us the ability to hold up that shield of faith, knowing who we are in Christ. And our position in Christ helps us to stand in faith, knowing that even though we are imperfect, even though we have made our mistakes, and sometimes we have tripped up real good and got real dirty when we fell. Amen? Anybody been there except me? We've all been there. And sometimes that happens when we thought we were all that. You ever been there? You start getting all, you know, spiritually proud, and you start thinking, oh man, and then, you know, you got to be careful, because then all of a sudden you can start getting critical of someone else, huh? And start thinking, oh man, and start getting that holier than thou kind of attitude, and then God will allow us to, oops, and you fall, and there you are, getting up all dirty, you know, because you know what? We need God's grace. We're saved by His grace, amen? It's His grace that gives us our standing, to be honest with you. Thank God for that. But when we know who we are in Christ, even when we've made mistakes, and the enemy starts to say, see, you're a worthless individual. See, you're no good. You're of no use to God and His kingdom. You're nothing but a mess. God will use anybody else more than He'll use you. Those are all those fiery darts. Discouragement. Why do you even go to church? Don't go to church. I mean, they're just going to judge you. Those are darts, man. It's an attack. No, we get up and we put that shield, amen? We square our shoulders and get ready to battle and move forward, amen? You don't come to church to please the pastor. You don't come to church to please Brother Gary or Brother Robert or Sister Sonia. We don't come here to for anyone but Him, amen? And that's why we come. You take up that shield of faith to withstand those fiery darts, because they are going to come against you. That enemy doesn't sit back at all. And so you've got to be ready with these armaments to withstand in that evil day. But those fiery arrows come. There's so many different ways. Discouragement. What are different areas of ways the enemy attacks? You tell me. What are some of those areas? Words. What else? Discouragement. That's a big one. I remember one time I read this thing. I think I might have said it the last time, but let me say it again. One time, someone was telling the story of how one day Satan was having a yard sale. And in his yard sale, he was selling all of his different tools that he uses. And so there's a bunch of different tools on the table. And as he was selling the different tools at a particular price, there was one tool there that he was selling at 10 times the price of the rest. And so the person came to the table and he saw the cost of all these other tools, and he saw this one, and he said, "Why is that tool more expensive than the rest?" And then Satan responded and said, "Well, that tool is called discouragement. And that one's more expensive than the rest because once that tool is used, then it makes the way for all the rest of the tools to be used." Did y'all hear that? Discouragement. It's a powerful weapon. Lust, sinful things. Those are arrows. Amen?
Depression.
Depression. It's an arrow.
Desire.
Desires. Carnal desires. Right?
Discontentment.
Oh, that's another arrow. Lies about you. Lies about your future.
Jealousy.
Those are arrows. Sometimes you experience those things coming out from people. Real individuals, huh? That's why it says your war is not against the flesh and blood. But there is a spirit trying to attack you. And we've got to have discernment. Amen? That doesn't mean they're demon-possessed. But they can definitely be used by the devil sometimes. Isn't that right? I'm serious. And so we got to be discerning. But there's a lot of arrows that will attack. But if we are secure in our standing in Christ, in the truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet, with the gospel of peace, a standing in peace, amen? And that shield of faith, we can withstand those things because they are going to come in one way or another, and usually it comes in a way that's going to affect us. There are things that will affect me in ways that it may not affect you. And there are things that will affect you and bring you down in ways that won't even touch me. But the enemy knows how to send those arrows, doesn't he?
Yes.
And he knows that we're individuals and he'll attack. The next one is the helmet of salvation. And what's interesting with that helmet of salvation is where it's located. Where do we put the helmet? Huh? On the head. On our head. I mean, and of course, within the head is the brain and our thoughts and our thinking, right? All kinds of stuff involved with the brain, right? And, you know, our beliefs, our understanding of truth. And so the helmet of salvation, the helmet is called salvation. So there must be a great need of understanding the height, the depth, the beauty of God's great salvation. Did you hear that? God's salvation is great. It's not a minuscule nothing. Salvation is powerful. It doesn't matter how the world looks at you. Don't ever worry about that. You put on that helmet and let them see you wearing it. Amen? Know who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus. Your salvation was given to you at a price, a great price, but it's something to understand the beauty of our salvation. It's a beautiful salvation. The Hebrew writer said it's a great salvation, and the greatness of that salvation is actually described in the Greek as the vastness of the ocean. The ocean is gigantic. It is huge. It is deep. Amen? And that's what your salvation is like. And so whenever you and I as a child of God just grow near to Him and draw near to God and fill ourselves with His Word, and we begin to understand by revelation the truths of who we are and who He is in us and who we are in Him and the breadth, the length, and the height of the things that God has for us, oh man, it just gets more exciting. And you know what? You're just barely beginning to touch the depth of the beauty of God. He has given you so much in His salvation. You are a blessed person. Say it. I am blessed.
I am blessed.
You are so blessed.
Yes.
And many times we don't realize how blessed we are.
Mm-hmm.
You are a child of the King. His royal blood is flowing through your veins. He is for you. He is not against you. He's got plans to prosper you. Amen. Amen. And I'm talking about real, true prosperity. I'm not talking about just a lot of money. It may involve that sometimes, but it's not that. I'm talking about being able to have a good day, and you're enjoying life where everybody else isn't enjoying their life. You may not have a lot of money. You may not have a big old house, but there is a contentment in your heart that this world can't give and the world can't take away. Amen? That is real, true prosperity. Praise the Lord. Amen? But your knowledge of salvation, the helmet of salvation, is a very important piece because it deals with the mind. You know, they say the mind is the battleground of the enemy. Amen? The mind. Martin Luther said, the mind is like birds. He said, birds always will be flying around your head. He said, you can't stop the birds from flying around your head. He was meaning almost like the thoughts in your brain. We get so many thoughts. Our minds are constantly going. I think sometimes the lady's mind is even more active than the man's. Did you know that? But there's a lot of thoughts swirling around up in there. But you can't stop them. You can't stop them, but like Martin Luther said, you can stop the birds from making a nest in your hair. The Bible says for us to get our thoughts and bring them captive and subject to the knowledge of Christ. How do we know? Or bring them subject to? How do we get them to bow down? We've got to fill ourselves with God's Word. You know, that's why Satan strives to get us to stop reading the Bible. That's why in this new year we should make a commitment and say, Lord, I'm going to read my Bible this year. Amen? If it's a particular plan of study, a particular plan of reading, a Bible reading plan, then go for it. Did you hear what I just said? Because there's a difference. You know, read the Bible. Make sure to read so many chapters a day. Read through it. That doesn't mean you have to stop and start digging everything out. Because there's a difference between Bible reading and Bible study. You should actually make room for both. Read the Bible. Read it through chapter to chapter. Understand the context. Understand the story. Understand what's being said. Read it. Just like you read a book. Just like you read a magazine. Just like you read the paper or the column. Whatever. But then make time to read that chapter and get a concordance. Break into it more and start to dig for the treasures locked within. Now, sometimes your Bible reading will turn into Bible study. That's good too. But make sure you're doing and making time to get this word in you. Because the battleground is going to happen here. Here. Before we ever did the action, here. But it's filling your mind and your heart with God's word. Remember Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? He says, out of the heart comes evil thoughts. So we must be filling ourselves thoroughly within with this book. Amen? Amen. Amen.
You know, when I was over in the Middle East, I remember the Iraq, they would have this radio on the radio stations. And we call them Baghdad Betty. She was like, America's this. And it was all this, it's what we call propaganda.
Yeah.
All the time, nonstop, trying to demoralize the American soldiers.
Yeah.
That was the purpose. I mean, and it's happened, I think, probably every war.
Yeah.
It was the second war. I can't remember all the others. But anyway, I remember that. But, you know, it's the same concept. It really is. If Satan can mess with your head and cause you to doubt, start to wander, start to question, you know, if you can demoralize people, you'll win the war every time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you start putting people in doubt, start separating people, start bringing in disunity.
Yeah.
That.
You know, there's a term, I don't know if you ever heard this terminology, it's called a paradigm. You ever heard paradigm? Paradigm is a way of thinking. It's like ingrained in your mind a particular way you think. And whenever you were, before you were saved, you thought a particular way. We were raised in a particular house, your parents influenced your manner of thinking, you went to public school started putting more stuff in there. And before you knew it, you're thinking a particular way. It's a paradigm. When you were born again, all of a sudden there was what's called a paradigm shift. And what Brother Robert is talking about is what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to get our minds to shift gears to another particular way. And that's what propaganda is in war. It's also the same in the spiritual war. Satan is going to try to throw things at us. And he's going to try to get us to start thinking that particular way. And it's like this, the propaganda there is trying to say America is no good. They're out to kill you all. They hate you. They're no good. And they want to get that into the minds of their people so that when they see the American, they see a bunch of no good, immoral, People that don't value life, they hate you. So they're ingraining into the people. And it's the same thing here. This helmet of salvation is, in a sense, to keep your minds straight so that you can discern the satanic propaganda, the satanic intention to get your mind to think a wrong way about yourself, about your family, about your job, about many different things. And he's going to do it in here. That's why Martin Luther said, look, I mean, it's going to be flying around in there. Always a lot of activity. But you can stop him from building a nest there. What does that mean? A bird doesn't just go into a tree and build a nest in 5 minutes. I mean, that little bird goes out there and pulls whatever and starts, and boom, and that little nest starts to grow. But it took time for that bird to build a nest. Piece by piece, weed by weed. Plastic, sometimes they'll even throw in there. If they find something, a piece of trash, I mean, they'll build a nest. See, but what's the point is, don't allow yourself to entertain the lies and the propaganda, because it'll begin to form something and it'll cause a shift. Brother Gary.
Pastor, talking about that, all of us have that internal dialogue. It's always rolling. Those thoughts are always coming. And we're told to take our thoughts captive.
Yeah.
We have to control our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's thoughts coming, that especially satanic things that come into our head, things like greed, like lust, like those things that come and want to control your thoughts, you have to replace those thoughts with another thought, a righteous thought. But that's not easy all the time.
No, it's not always easy.
But there is an order of precedent, and that is that a spoken word will always take precedent over a thought. You can replace those thoughts if you begin to speak instead of just trying to think.
Yeah.
So I know it's not a trick. Well, at any rate, what it is, let's say I tell you, count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I say, now, say your name. And then you say your name, and you've lost track of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to 10 because you had to say a word. So if you say that word, it will cancel the thoughts.
Yeah.
So replace those thoughts with spoken words. So it's okay to talk to yourself.
Yeah. The word of God, or good music.
Yeah.
Or a good sermon. Or a good radio station. Or a good television program. But it's like you said. I mean, isn't it so true? Faith comes by it's the spoken. It's taking you out of this now to what you're hearing. That's why it's so important to have good music that's going to edify and build you up. A good television show going to build you up. Good friends that are going to speak good things to you, hopefully. Amen? We should be the same way. Or reading the word out loud. So it's coming out loud into us. Or listening to it, like I was saying earlier, like MP3 way or however. But man, that's true. That's very true. It'll cancel that thought because it's like you're zeroed in on what's being heard.
Just touching on what you said, my mom, always says, you know, when she tells me, like, you know, there's going to be those thoughts that are going to be in your mind that not to go to church, or even they were trying to put some things that there to make you sin or to make you lost or anything. And so the only thing you say is, out loud, say, the blood of Jesus has power.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus has power.
Yeah.
And say it, and say it, and say it until those thoughts are gone.
Yeah.
And it's kind of what he's saying, you know, those words and the word of God is going to cover those.
Exactly. So important about what we're hearing. Amen. And that's why sometimes it's good, like, you know, if you're going through a hard time, don't just go shut yourself in a room that's very quiet, where there's nothing happening, and you're just letting your mind... That's not good. Get out of there. Put some good music on. Start singing a song. Put a good television Christian program on or something. Because you got to don't. See, it's a bath in here. So we got to sometimes get out of it. Amen. Don't let the birds build a nest. Don't give it time. Amen?
I'm still kind of thinking that, like, if the devil can't be in your mind, or your thoughts, where do those thoughts come from?
Well,
satanic thoughts. Is that just us? I mean, those are just our thoughts?
Some of it is us.
So if you're really just battling those, you're almost in battle with yourself.
Well,
it's truly a battle.
Remember, even what Jesus said, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, lusts, adulteries, you know, all of them here. So sometimes we want to say it's all the devil. No, the devil, you know, our fallen nature, the sin that is within is very deplorable and dark. And if you give it time, man, that's why it says you've got to, cancel the deeds of the flesh by doing the things of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh. And so must be in the Spirit, the Word, in prayer, spiritual things. Amen? Because it'll start to cancel out those things. Now, that doesn't mean that all those things, I don't know how it works. That's the battle of the mind. How the enemy gets into the mind, I wouldn't be able to explain that at all. Think of Jerusalem, for instance. It was surrounded by a wall, right? Jerusalem's surrounded by a wall. Now, the enemy couldn't just go right in because there's a wall. It has to go over. But you know what they could do? Those arrowmen could get their arrows and shoot it over the wall. That's the thoughts. You can't just come in, but somehow in the mind there is an entrance. I don't know how. Again, that's not demons. It's not demon possession. But the thought world, the thought life, and how all that works, that's why we must bring those thoughts captive to the Word of God. And so, but if we're not in the Word, and we're not filling up with this, how are we going to be able to bring those things captive? You know what I mean? So then we're just stuck in a battle, right?
Do you think that maybe thoughts and all that is by things that we hear or see unconsciously, you know, and those things are getting into us.
All that too.
So like the arrows. I mean, we're not thinking about it. We're not necessarily wanting to look at that, but somehow, somewhere, we listen, we see, we, you know.
Yeah.
And so those get captured.
Yeah. Yeah, all that. You know, there's even what's called nostalgia. Have you ever heard that word, nostalgia? That's when there's certain things attached to certain things. You ever been to a particular restaurant, you smell a particular smell? And also you're like, man, I remember that smell when I was at this particular place with this group. There's thoughts attached to particular memories. You hear a particular song over the radio, and you're like, wow, I remember driving to New Mexico with my dad and blah, blah, blah. Or nostalgia. And there's that element of nostalgia too. You're in a particular mode or a particular way, and all of a sudden a thought hits, and it brings you back to a particular time in your life or a particular thing wrong. And there's those kinds of things too. It's a bunch of stuff linked together. But there's a satanic influence. There's the influence of our own fallen nature. There's memories with attachments within, you know. So it's all of that. But we must bring those thoughts captive by the Word of God. The helmet of salvation is so important, isn't it? But don't allow yourself to entertain the wrong or the negative or the sinful things. It begins to happen. Then get out of that mode. Repeat and say, the Lord has power, or the blood has power, or speak the word out loud. Get the mindset to change by bringing it subject to Christ. Amen?
Over and over, yeah. I am a child of God. I will not fear.
Yeah.
Stand on the truth.
Yeah.
Jesus is my Savior.
Exactly.
Over and over, you repeat these kinds of things, whatever you need at the time.
Yeah. Sister Mary.
There's a book that Joyce Myers wrote, and it's called The Battlefield of the Mind.
Yeah. We should read it. Yeah, that's a good. I mean, I'm sure it's saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. Listen to the next sword, and then we'll stop. I mean, the next part of the armor. The one is the sword of the Spirit. You see, that's all the rest are protection. There's only one element that is defensive, and that's your sword. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember that. And so we'll stop there. We're way over time. But it's been good. Amen? We'll continue right from there next time. The sword of the Spirit. Remember the importance. You're going to do battle with what again? The Word. What did Jesus battle Jesus or Satan's temptation in the wilderness with? The Word. The Word. The Word. It is written, exactly. Lord, we thank you so much for all that we have discussed today. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us in this battle. We are not alone. We are all in the same battle. And Lord, you are fighting with us. We are on the winning side. Help us ever to remember that. And I pray that, Lord, you would continue to let your Word fill our hearts thoroughly. Lord, change our minds, our thoughts, because of your living and active Word within. Continue to bless the remainder of our service. We do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.